This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. You can find out more at the website allbook-books.com. The purpose, in a few words, of this episode is to dispel and debunk the myth of America and to show what's going on behind the scenes that hardly anybody pays attention to, but not really behind the scenes. So we'll start off with factoid number one. 1786. Okay, now to set this quote up, you can go online and read all kinds of interesting analysis about, you know, whether the country is an oligarchy, whether it has become fascist, whether it is a democracy. Is it still a democracy? Has it ever been a democracy? Will it ever be a democracy? But there's a bunch of quotes that just toss that out the window. And here's one from 1786 by George Washington. I'll just read part of the quote. "The foundation of a great empire is laid." No, that's not about having sex. That is about planting the seeds of the empire. Now, for many years in my writings, I've used the acronym. Instead of for USA, I do USE, US Empire. Because that's what it was stated at from the get-go, and that's what it is. To back that up, well, basically there's estimated 800 to over 1,000 military bases worldwide. So if that's not an empire, you tell me what is. And before that George Washington quote of 1786, Jefferson used the phrase "Empire of Liberty" in 1780, according to Wikipedia. Jefferson envisaged this, quote, empire, end quote, extending westwards over the American continent, expansion into which he saw as crucial to the American future. During his presidency, this was in part achieved by the 1803 purchase, the so-called purchase, actually, of the Louisiana Territory from the French. And then it says, even in his later years, Jefferson saw no limit to the expansion of this empire, writing, quote, "Where this progress will stop, no one can say. Barbarism has, in the meantime, been receding before the steady step of amelioration, and will in time, I trust, disappear from the earth." Now, that's totally hypocritical, but anyway, the point is that where the progress will stop, no one can say. So there you see, over 200 years ago, what has morphed into, though now waning to some degree, the 800 to over 1,000 military bases worldwide, which began with the Manifest Destiny and all that nonsense. Now, where did this come from? Well, let's see, let's backtrack a little bit. I was watching a documentary one day about languages and history, and it went back to, I don't know, I have my note here, Alfred 899 AD or something, and Beowulf and that whole beginning of English language, whatever. And the interesting thing was, it talked about some of the origins of the language of the Germanic tribes, Frisian, F-R-I-E-S-A-N, Frisian. And what it said about the language, to describe the language as warlike, adventurous, greedy, and used religiosity. It was Christianity or whatever it was that was caught up with all that. So if that doesn't describe what the U.S. Empire is like, warlike, adventurous, greedy, religiosity. So some of the origins of the way things are go back to the way the language is used. And some of the inspiration for this episode, too, comes from some quotes, some entertaining quotes. So here's one that's partly inspired this episode. I was listening to an excellent album by Michael Franti and Spearhead called Yell Fire. This song, Time to Go Home. How many people did we drop the bomb on? Wow, it just gets right to it. That's what goes on with empire. Barack Obama, Nobel Peace Prize winner. He was big time known for dropping the drone bombing. Far away, so how much do you care? How many people did we drop the bomb on? Then, from way back when, Frank Zappa, government is the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex. So much of what you see on the news, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't change the military-industrial complex. It's the same old, same old. I think the statistic is that for all of its 240-something years, the U.S. has been at war about like 93% of the time. Then I was listening on the radio to Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan. And this line jumped out at me. Heard the sound of a clown who cried in the alley. Heard the sound of a clown who cried in the alley. And I thought of the U.S. Think of McDonald's. There's a clown selling hamburgers. But people are crying in the alleys because they can barely afford that stuff anymore. That's partly because, if you haven't been following recently, billions of dollars of weaponry going to Ukraine, a foreign country infested with Ukro neo-Nazis. Billions and billions, not hamburgers sold, pardon the sarcasm, but that's how I deal with this stuff. Not hamburgers sold, but billions of weapons that then go out on the black market. So when you read in the news about all kinds of crazy shit and terrorist bombings and bullshit, it's probably not just random. It has to do with that. And then speaking of burgers, that goes to one of the sources of the work from, I've been studying this stuff about empire for at least 20 years, over 20 years. And one of the books I read by Nick Turse, The Complex, talks about the military-industrial complex, and one of the most fascinating things about it is it's not just weapons, it's the whole infrastructure and culture. So when they build a military base and families, you know, the soldiers and the families go to live there, it's like a village, it's like a gated community with Pizza Huts and McDonald's. So you literally have the clowns over there doing that stuff. So it's a whole network and all the different funding and different companies. If they got computers and you got big computer companies investing in all that. And then I think I heard recently the statistic of like 50% of the U.S. economy is tied up with the military industrial complex. Various jobs, whether it's Boeing and Northrop Grumman and those other Raytheon and those mega death weapons producers. They ought to be the ones that ought to be stopped. You know, the politicians are just their lapdogs and spokespersons. But, like, how do you can protest, you can do whatever, but how do you stop? How do you change the economy? How do you change the fabric of the U.S. economy when there's, like, 50% of it is ruled by the economics behind the military-industrial complex? It is the proverbial gorilla in the room, because it's not talked about much. And I actually, after years of writing about and talking about it, I kind of gave up on talking about it. And then in my recent interview about Hawaii with Ann Keala Kelly, and she mentioned the origins of the military worldwide bases was using Hawaii as a platform to get to other places and as a kind of defense zone, so to speak. So that like re-sparked and rekindled some of my desire to rant and to factoid about what's going on, because it's one of the greatest overlooked, not talked about, and I don't know what talking about it can do. It at least gets the conversation going. It at least can shift the scale so that people aren't just blindly, mindlessly, you know, saluting the military-industrial complex behind the scenes. And who in a given day cares about how many people did they drop the bomb on? And who is there to put an arm around the clown crying in the alleyway? And who is paying $50 and minimum two drinks to watch the government as entertainment division of the military-industrial complex? This and other rhetorical questions of sarcasm you can have no you can answer yourself. And part of how I got introduced, and it's part of how I officially started learning about this, was a writer, I think Professor Chalmers Johnson. He was one of the first to mention the whole military, the astounding number of military bases worldwide. And then the next in the line I read was, as I said before, Nick Turse, his book, The Complex, How the Military Invades Our Everyday Lives. So, you know, he's got on the cover everything from products to video games, to where your computer gadget is made, and it's more of an eye-opening book of information. It's a little bit dry at times, the reading, but for information and stats and just finding out where products come from and who does what, it's an excellent book. And for listing, you know, like here's one, Pentagon Petrol Pushers, and it lists like probably 100 more than that. It's like two pages and three columns of all the petroleum companies, you know, from around the world that are connected to that. And here's, yeah, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, General Electric, and Bechtel Corporation combined for over $207 billion, more than it spent on 2005 on bombs, grenades, guided missile launchers, unmanned aerial vehicles, bulk explosives, guns, rocket launchers, and helicopters. And this book was back in 2008. And now here's a little in the introduction, The Pentagon in Your Pantry. So this lists all the companies. When you think about all the infrastructure and the bases around the world, people have to eat, people have to drink. So the interconnectedness of all that becomes astounding. And this again is three pages with two columns after 8 minutes. Nestle, Bagel Bites, H.J. Heinz, Baked Doritos Tortilla Chips, PepsiCo, Ballpark Frank, Sara Lee, Dawn Dishwashing Liquid, Procter & Gamble, Earth Grains, Frozen Garlic Bread, Sara Lee, Eggo Waffles, Fig Newtons, Kraft, Pepsi, Tyson Foods, on and on. Now, does this mean all these companies are culpable and stuff? Well, that's for you to decide, but the point is that the whole infrastructure and the whole systemicness of what is going on with the military-industrial complex is not just about bombs. It's about the whole system. It's about what gets eaten and drinked and cooked and marinated and whatever else goes on. Oreo cookies, organic baby spinach, Dole, Colgate Palmolive. But the one thing you notice is that these are major corporations. And that's the big key. So we have the corporations and the governments connected and the military. That's fascism, folks. And then I learned also, I think from this book, that one of the major points, also the next book in line I read, David Vine, Base Nation. Ramstein, Germany is a major, major military point. It sounded like sort of a major launch pad similar to Hawaii. So the infrastructure that goes around the world and that connects to everything is, that's the big picture of this whole military-industrial complex, which is not just the U.S. Empire, but it's a global network, a global club. And here's chapter 17, The Pentagon Goes Golfing. So it's a lot of information. And then David Vine, Base Nation, How Military Bases Around Abroad Harm America and the World. That book is from 2015. And here's some quote. Base closures had either no significant regional impact or small impact that quickly vanishes with time. The result was corroborated by a study of the effects of the Swedish military's closure of bases in Sweden. So sometimes in the news you read about a base that closed and you think that's great, but then it all depends on the side effects of what's going on. And also prostitution is linked to many of these military bases. There's a chapter, Sex for Sale, Toxic Environments, 25 recipients of Pentagon contracts abroad, some places you've never heard of, totaling billions in total, $385 billions. Some you have FedEx corporations in there, motor oil companies, BP, Bahrain Petroleum Company, Raytheon. So it goes on and on, and it's just the astounding amount of how much not just the U.S., but around the world is affected by this stuff and the psychology behind it and the side effects, the environmental side effects of it all. Anyway, I want to finish up here with a poem I wrote. Too bad that I wrote it, like, I don't remember, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago maybe, and it's still one of those poems where, hey, I like the poem, but one of those poems where, too bad, I have to keep reading this stuff. There she goes, Myth America. Myth America, every year she's crowned, she promises world peace. There she goes, teetering on high heels, strutting her stuff on the boulevard of broken American dreams. Myth America, your makeup was tested on chimpanzees. Your labiaplasty was outsourced and your nose job is not kosher. Rumor has it your boobs are fake, your smile is Botoxed, and your bikini was made in China. Myth America, your more service-oriented sister, the Statue of Liberty, is not amused. We admit your smile is nice and you can't be blamed for posing nude when you were younger, who couldn't use the extra cash. But your cliches are as tired as the streets on which your homeless sleep. There she goes, Myth America, superpower with a strapless gown and a rotting infrastructure. Mad money in her purse and a $1 trillion budget deficit. Hey, sister, can you spare an F-35 Joint Strike Fighter? We must admit your congeniality is refreshing, but honestly, we've seen prettier faces at the post office, the diner, the hardware store. Myth America, you borrowed the Constitution from the Haudenosaunee, Iroquois nations, but left out the parts about peace, respect for women, and Mother Earth. Oh, and by the way, the very nations from whom you borrowed. We understand the king was not nice. Quote, he has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury, end quote. Yes, we understand the king was not nice, but look in the monitor. Your corporate status quo has become like the thing you ran away from. And back then, it was nasty from the get-go when you had bad-mouthed the natives. Quote, he has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions, end quote. And because of pathological bad-mouthing, you developed a lisp, Myth America. Now you can barely speak clearly. Your corporate media has a speech impediment, no offense to those with genuine conditions. You stumble over your answers, and too many of your audience are babbling with forked tongues at the all-you-can-eat buffet. Even with a college education, you misinterpret. Look, you were given the right, quote, to petition the government for a redress of grievances, end quote. But instead of petitioning, you go to JCPenney to buy another dress, which makes you feel better, but you've become a legend in your own mindlessness. And did you know why they spell it JCPenney? Jesus Christ, those dresses cost pennies to make in sweatshops. That was just a joke until we looked it up. Well, we didn't crunch the numbers, but there she goes, Myth America. Come to your senses and do something about the injuries and usurpations and admit to yourself that you're having a really nasty hair day. Even one my bad would boost your approval rating. And by the way, fix that damned overbite. Here's the number for a specialist in Thailand. There she goes, Myth America. So those quotes were from the Declaration of Independence and the First Amendment. And as I said, yes, I know there's some sarcastic humor in there, and that's one of the ways I can deal with what is otherwise violent and horrific and tragic and sad. And so I try to use some verbiage that has a pinch of humor to lighten the load and convey some of this in a more palatable way than just, you know, shoving it in the listener's face, which is the method of the Beowulfian gorging at the table after the battle. And otherwise, it's trying to get past the myths and the stories and the narratives, which are, you know, 24/7 pumped onto the news, these myths and stories. So that is the serious point of this episode of Myth America. So thank you for listening, and be well.